toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late-night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you till midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in with us and maybe even join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. If you're out on the roadways there, most of the roadways here in northeastern Ohio are pretty clear right now, at least where we were driving today and tonight. And that snow from last Wednesday has pretty well been cleared off the roads. I guess we've got some more coming in, but a little snow yesterday, at least in our area, and that was cleared off pretty quickly as well. And other than that, the roads weren't bad today and tonight, but it's cold out there. It was 19 degrees on our car thermometer when we pulled into the studio here this evening. And I don't know about you, but that's cold. And it's going to get colder this week. And when it gets cold like that, some of those areas out there on the roadways where you get a little dip or something where the salt has melted the ice and the snow previously, some of those areas can get a little bit chillier and actually refreeze. So be careful if you're out there. Don't take it for granted. You know, always be aware that there could be a little ice out there, especially on some of those low spots or on some of the bridges and overpasses. So just keep it safe. And if you're at home and don't have to get out, keep warm. And hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And like I said, maybe even join in the conversation with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. And Father, just thank you so much for the blessing that we have, the ministry of being able to help people and teach and preach and share the Word of God and point people to Christ as their Savior, that this program, this radio outreach affords us. And Lord, we do pray that we would be a blessing to somebody tonight, that if there's a person that's searching, Lord, that something that we talk about, some of the things, the questions perhaps that come up in the course of the program, that you would use these things to reach somebody with the gospel, that they would realize that they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ before it's everlastingly too late. And Father, also, we just pray that we might encourage believers that are listening tonight as well. And Father, as we close out this year, 2012, that you'd help us to resolve to do a better job serving you and being a witness and testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ during the new year 2013. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, pray for me tonight. My voice is a little gravelly, if you haven't noticed that already. I'm telling everybody today that I learned that the truth of the statement, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, I received a head cold for Christmas, and I can honestly say that there was a lesser blessing there than, you know, in receiving the head cold. So, but my voice is coming back, and probably all the driving, we headed down to Kentucky on Christmas Eve after our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we drove all night down there, and then we had to come back up Wednesday during all of the snowstorm that stretched from northern Kentucky all the way up I-71 all the way up to northeastern Ohio, and we were in it the whole way, and just prayed, and God kept us safe on the roadways, and so made it back in time to get everything that we needed to do on Thursday. And my voice was a little bit rougher on Friday during our Friday afternoon program, live with Pastor Al on Fridays at 1:30 here on AM 1220, The Word. And we have a half-hour program, if you haven't tuned in before. That's at each Friday right here on 1220. We have a half-hour program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons. And I tell you, my voice was a bit rough this last Friday, but it made it through, and made it through preaching this morning, made it through the nursing home service this afternoon, and made it through the evening service. And so, Lord willing, my voice will make it through the program tonight. This is one of those end-of-the-year programs, and just a lot of little things that are out there and things that are happening in the world around us. And we can talk about just about anything, but of course, if you've got a question about the Bible or a question about current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. I was reading an article here earlier today talking about the overhyping that goes on in churches where people are now, you know, a lot of us pastors get on the internet now, and some pastors, I don't do Twitter, but some pastors do, and they'll tweet out messages, you know, this is going to be the greatest message I've ever preached. You don't want to miss it. This is going to be the message of all messages. This is going to be the mega message that'll change your life. And they do that every week. Now, you know, I'd like to brag and say that every message I preach is the best message that's ever been preached, but I know that's not true. I'd like to say that every program that I've done, whether our Friday afternoon program or our evening program, is the best radio program I've ever done. Well, I know that's not true either. And I can remember when my wife and I were missionaries, we would travel and go to different churches. And when you're on the road, a lot of missionaries and a lot of evangelists, they preach the same message, you know, at different churches, but it's the same message. And, you know, after you preach the same basic message, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times or more, you begin to realize there's certain parts in that message that people respond to more than others, and you kind of emphasize that a little bit more, and certain parts that people don't seem to respond to as much, and you don't spend as much time in it. And you really get to refine it until you stand beside the pastor after you've been there for a church service, and you're standing in line with the pastor, and the people are going out from the evening service or morning service, wherever you were preaching, and people are shaking your hand. The pastor of the church is standing right next to you. The man that has to come up with a brand new greatest message ever heard each service, and you're standing there after you've preached the same message a dozen times, and somebody shakes your hand and goes, man, that's the best preaching I've heard in a long time. I just haven't heard preaching like that around here. And you're standing next to the pastor. That's kind of awkward situation there. But now it takes some effort, and it takes some time, and it takes some time in prayer. It takes some time in reading and studying God's Word to be able to, on a daily basis, to do what your pastor does, to do what your Sunday school teacher does. And that's to be able, week after week, service after service, to be able to grind out the corn, as it were, and put out the Word of God and make it available to you in your church, in your Sunday school class, in your church service. And I'll never diminish that. I've been on both sides of it. As a missionary on deputation, I got to preach the same message over and over and refine it and hear those, man, that's the greatest message I ever heard comments. But as a pastor, I know what it's like. You know, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Sunday night, or I said Sunday evening, a radio program Sunday night, and a Wednesday night, and a Friday night Bible study, and a Friday radio program, and week after week have to come out. You can't do the same thing over and over. People kind of notice that. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got John in Cleveland on the line waiting for us. John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello, John.
Yes, hello.
Hey, there you are. Good evening and Happy New Year to you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry that I missed your broadcast of the Mayan apocalypse.
Well, I survived, and, you know, I didn't really expect too many super volcanoes. It's like I was joking afterwards. You know, the planet Nibiru apparently streaked in unnoticed from the far reaches of the solar system, bringing some frigid weather with it, and it scooped up Lake Erie and dumped us on us that Friday. Well, 21st. We had quite a snowstorm here in Northeast Ohio that day. It was beautiful before.
Yeah. I've been watching the news, and I'm just wondering, do you feel that December 21st could have been the beginning of the tribulation?
Nope.
Why not? What would be the telltale sign of the beginning of the tribulation?
Well, here's a couple of things. One of them, nobody signed a 7-year covenant with Israel. If they did, I missed it. That's one. The other one is I'm sitting here, and my wife's sitting across the table from me here, desk here from me in the studio, and having trusted Christ as my Savior, and my wife having done the same thing prior to the tribulation occurring First Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says that we'll be taken out of the world, caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And since my wife and I are both here and at church today, a number of people in church today that are born again, they've trusted Christ as their Savior, and they were there. Obviously, the rapture has not taken place yet, and the Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet, and he hasn't signed a covenant with Israel yet, so couldn't happen.
We couldn't budge you from the pre-trib rapture, could we?
Well, if you could budge Paul from it, if you could budge Peter from it, if you could budge Jesus Christ from it, you might have a chance.
Oh, okay.
But,
Is that what you feel that they believed?
Well, that's what I read in the Bible, so that's what I believe.
Oh, okay. I don't get that from my reading.
Well, you know, that's why we pray for your salvation there, John, because the Bible says there are things that the natural man doesn't understand. They're spiritually discerned. And, you know, the Bible says that that we're not appointed under wrath. And the wrath that's going to come on the world is in a different time frame, and that's for people, you know, for the world that's rejected Christ. Go ahead.
You don't want to go through Obamacare, do you?
Well, I'd rather not, but unfortunately, I don't see much way out of it. It takes some of it's already come in. Some of it's taken effect in 2 days.
Isn't that going to be part of the tribulation to go through Obamacare?
Well, some would certainly say so, but that's a whole other area. You also, though, confuse tribulation with a period of time known as the tribulation. And see, tribulation, troubles, and turmoil, God never promised that we would live in a trouble-free world. He did say that there is a 7-year period coming on the scene where the world will go through a 7-year period known as the tribulation, and that's a period of God's judgment on the world. And in fact, we've been studying that in Revelation, and if you pick up Revelation starting in Revelation chapter 4, where John, as a type of the church, as a born-again believer, he's caught up into heaven where he begins to see revealed various things that take place in heaven and earth during the 7-year tribulation period. And one of the beginning of those things, of course, is the revelation of the Antichrist. And Daniel wrote about that, of course, as well.
But the fact is that John has already died and gone to heaven. But you
John wrote this before he died. John wrote this when he was banished on the island of Patmos because they tried to kill him.
Hmm? But the fulfillment of it didn't come until after his death.
That's why it's called prophecy.
Right.
But it's prophetic. So that's why we understand that. And see, that's one of the things the Holy Spirit helps you to understand, that you can see that Revelation chapter 4 on is yet future. It's dealing with things that are going to happen in the future. And
John
was in the future for John. It's in the future for us still, too.
But John could see it now because he's already in heaven.
Well, you're kind of losing track of what we're talking about here. I appreciate that, John. I do have another caller calling in, and we're kind of not going anywhere with this. But John is in heaven today. That's absolutely true. And when I die, if I die before the rapture, Paul said I'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so I will see things happen. John was actually privileged to be able to see future events. And that gets into another whole complicated area because God exists outside of time. I believe John actually witnessed the future. He recorded it as best he could according to as the Holy Spirit inspired him to record it. And God has preserved it for us.
I guess the point I was making was when the rapture comes, John will have already been in heaven.
Well, yeah, but his physical body is not there, and his physical body will be resurrected. In fact, that's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about when it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's talking about the physical bodies being resurrected. And then those of us who are alive and remain, Paul wrote, will be changed, and we will be caught up into the air. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last half of the chapter, he says that this mortal body will put on immortality, this corruptible will put on incorruption, and will be changed, and we will be like the resurrected Christ. And that's Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection, and John has not got his resurrected body yet.
But Paul never said that we wouldn't go through the tribulation, though.
As you study his writings, he makes it very clear, and he talks about the blessed hope when he wrote to Titus. Let me turn over here to Titus, and let me just read that for you here. He says in Titus chapter 2, he says, starting in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And then he says in verse 13, this is still the same sentence, "looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Okay, so he said, we're looking forward to that blessed hope. And then he has a comma here, "and the glorious appearing." The blessed hope is the rapture portion that he talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul wrote those chapters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then the comma, "and the glorious appearing," that's the return of Christ physically to the earth at the end of the tribulation. And as you study the Gospels, you see that Jesus Christ is presented variously as returning in clouds, and every eye sees him, and the whole world takes note of it. You see that in John's writing in the book of Revelation in chapter 19, where Jesus Christ returns with the armies of heaven with him. Luke and Matthew, I believe, wrote about that as well and touched on that. And yet, Paul also writes about the hidden or relatively unnoticed event where people don't see, and again, Matthew and Luke and others wrote about that too, where they talked about him coming as a thief in the night. Now, last I heard, when somebody gets their house robbed, the thief doesn't call everybody up and alert the press and sound trumpets and say, "I am coming to rob your house," and gets a great fanfare. He sneaks in stealthily where people can't find him. And he takes what he considers valuable. And the first phase, the blessed hope, it's the blessed hope because I hope it's going to come in my lifetime. I hope I'm not going to have to go through death's doorway. I'm hoping that I'll hear that trumpet that sounds in what Paul talks about, and I'll be caught up. And this body that I have in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed, and I'll be in heaven. Regardless of whether I'm caught up at that time or not, while I'm alive, if I've died, I have the promise that my body will be resurrected, and I will have a resurrected body in heaven. But then the glorious appearing, that's when Jesus comes visibly where every eye sees him and he destroys the armies of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 19. It's also in Zechariah chapter 14. And he sets foot on the Mount of Olives. It splits in half. There's a fault line that runs right through the middle of the mountain. And geologists have said if it's triggered, it'll split the mountain in half, just like Zechariah prophesied. And so obviously, Paul wrote right here about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing, and he talked about the rapture and the actual return to the earth of Christ. So, Paul writes about it. There's other places, but that's real quick. Hope that helps you a little bit there tonight, John. Hey, we're still praying for your salvation, and I trust that God will get through, and instead of looking for reasons not to believe the Bible, you'll allow the Holy Spirit to share the truth with you.
I do believe the Bible.
Well, you seem to struggle with a lot of things that a lot of believers are listening, saying, hey, why doesn't he get it? I get people who ask me why you don't get things that born-again believers understand without any problem.
I just don't understand where you come up with the 7 years.
Well, because I read it in the Bible, and Daniel wrote in Daniel chapter 9 that it would be 7 years. That's a good place. I read it in the Bible. I don't know where you don't come up with it. You must not read the same Bible that I read. I would encourage you, get a good King James Bible. But John, got another caller. I want to get him to the before the break, and do pray for you. Hope you'll get saved, and I want to wish you a blessed new year. That's what I wish for you and for all of our listeners. I thank you for that call, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Jim calling up, and Jim, are you with us here tonight?
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Welcome.
How are you?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you.
I happen to be on the other show, and you know what? I just called back to see why it was cut off, and I asked a question if I was pretty much
I really could not answer for that.
Let
me just explain real quick. The other program comes through the telephone lines from West Virginia. They're not actually here. They sometimes have problems with their phone lines. I know when the weather's bad, sometimes they cannot hear their callers and things like that.
What's your name, sir?
Pastor Al Davis.
Pastor Al.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Al? No, I got an answer. I called back because I wonder if I would have said goodbye, I would have been cut off already. And the answer was I was cut off. They had to go.
Oh, okay.
So that was the answer. And you know what? He said, you want to be on another show? So look how God works. You know what?
Well, here we are.
Is there a special topic tonight?
The format of our program, now the program before us is more sort of praise and testimony.
Yeah, that's
and
what I
we try to do more Bible question and answer, apologetics, what the Bible says, and we look at current events as well in light of the
Word. I have a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Could you explain salvation, please?
Oh, sure. And let me warn you, Jim, not cutting you off, but we do have a bottom of the hour break coming up in just a few minutes.
You gonna come back, or you
and, yeah, we'll hold you if need be.
Okay. Okay.
When we get to that, we can hold you over.
We'll let the Spirit guide us.
Yeah. And we're talking about salvation, and it's like I tried to make clear, you know, understandable to our, you know, our audience, is that the Bible sets forth the case that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's because we're all the descendants of Adam, every single one of us. And it's like somebody once said, you know, how many people here are married? And he had people raise their hands. He said, how many people are married to a relative? And only a few hands stayed up. And he said, well, who'd the rest of you marry? Because we're all children of Adam and Eve. And the Bible tells us that by one man sin entered.
Are we all children of God, or are those just saved by grace?
Well, we're going to talk different definitions here, and let me explain.
Okay, but
we're children of God in the sense that God created us, and every time that a child is conceived, God creates a new, unique human being, and in that sense, we're His children because we're His creations.
Okay,
He created every one of us. Now, the problem is, even though God created every one of us, because Adam disobeyed God,
we're born in sin.
Right, we have a sin nature. And because of the sin nature, and it's passed down from father to children, not through the mother, but through the father, because the Bible says, by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin.
Right, right.
So
right,
as a
right.
result, that's why Jesus had to be born of the Virgin Mary. It had to be the miracle of the virgin birth, because if Jesus had an earthly father, he would have inherited a sin nature.
Right,
but
right,
because
right.
he had no earthly father, he inherited no sin nature. And also
right.
because he was God manifest in the flesh, as the Bible
right.
says, he was able to live a perfect, holy life. And then he went to the cross where he sacrificed himself and shed his blood to
Praise
pay for
God.
Our sins. And see, we cannot be good enough to
right,
get
right,
to heaven.
Right. That's why we need Jesus to intervene.
Right. Right. And
we're dirty as filthy rags.
Exactly. The best we can
wow.
do, like the Bible says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes in verse 8 through 10, he says, "For by grace are ye
there
saved through faith."
Yep,
now,
there it is. Yep.
Let me pause with that. Well, let me read it, and then we'll come back to it. We got about a
sure.
minute. We may have to come back and draw some
right.
more of this out
okay.
after
okay.
the break. But he says,
okay.
"For by grace are ye saved through faith." And then he says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God,
yep.
not of works, lest any man should boast." And then he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now,
right.
we're going to get interrupted with the break here, but let me just start to establish a couple things from this. For by grace are ye saved. It's God's grace. You know, we sometimes define that grace as God's riches at Christ's expense, but it's really because it's free. God gives it to us for free, and it's like that's why it's a gift. You cannot earn it. And we'll develop that thought a little more in the second half of our program. Stay tuned. We'll be on until about midnight tonight. Stay tuned for the second half.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program. But we're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, that State Route 82, near the center of North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we were talking with caller Jim prior to the break at the bottom of the hour there, and we were talking about salvation. And Jim, still with us there tonight?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's pick up here again. We were looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, where Paul wrote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then in verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, let me bring a couple thoughts out with this. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, there's a couple verses here. I guess verse 10 is a good place to jump
in. That's something you were talking about, Ephesians 2. I was reading that yesterday.
Yeah.
This is how the Lord's Spirit works.
Amen.
I'm listening.
Well, now let's compare Ephesians 2 with Romans 3 here for a minute. It says in verse 10, starting in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one."
Wow.
That's talking about human beings. That's why we cannot earn salvation of ourselves. That's
right.
We cannot do enough good. As you quoted earlier, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We cannot do enough to earn our way to heaven. You can't go to enough church services. You can't put enough money in the plate.
Can't.
You can't sacrifice your time. You can't even give your life for Christ in order to merit heaven, because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. So what we need is a working of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go to another passage in the Gospel of John, and I'm going to tie a couple of these things together, hopefully.
Once you acknowledge that, at least the sanctification.
Right. And let me go to John chapter number 1 and verse number 12 and 13.
So if we really acknowledge the word filthy, dirty rags, there will be no sanctification
coming. Right. We have to acknowledge what we are.
Because you still think you have something good to offer God.
Exactly. When we realize that we're not righteous and we can't make ourselves righteous, notice John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." He doesn't stop there. He says, "which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And what he's saying there is you cannot be born a Christian because you're born in a Christian country or your parents were Christians or anything like that. You don't inherit it because of your family or anything. Born, not of blood. You cannot, there's nothing that you can do in the flesh to make yourself sanctified, to make yourself righteous, to make yourself saved.
Right.
And there's nothing in your will. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death, the Bible says. You cannot decide in your mind that I'm going to find another way to God, another way to heaven. You can't do it. The only way you can come to him is to receive him, and you have to receive him by faith. Remember what he said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace you say what?
Through faith.
You do not receive the grace until you believe. But here's the question. How can you believe if there's none righteous, no, not one? There's none that seek after him. That's why we pray for people. And as we pray for people, the Holy Spirit moves upon the heart of that person, enlightens that person to the truth of the gospel. When they see the truth, then they can make the decision. Do I want to receive Christ or not? And when I receive Christ, John said here, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You don't have that power in you. You only receive
through
that ability
Christ,
to be saved.
Christ, right. Christ.
When you receive him through faith, it's
right.
not of yourselves. It's the gift
Christ.
Of God. Exactly.
All Jesus.
And let me just shorten this down here a little bit. Here's what amazing thing happens. Let me go back to Romans chapter 3.
Well, and, on the other show, Pastor Al,
mm-hmm.
I gave a testimony, and I was cut off. But basically what I was talking about is the favor of God in prayer. He could move mountains.
And, exactly.
And the only reason why he did it is so he get the glory. So he made this thing so difficult for me to deal with. But it was only prayer because I couldn't see or talk to that person mm-hmm. or anybody. And it was just the power of God intervene. And to make a long story short, is he answered every one of my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was answered.
Well,
I mean, just because he gets all the glory now mm-hmm. and shows me his power. There you go.
Well, let me add to what you just said. We were back in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse
Praise
8
God.
And 9. Let's
wow.
read verse 7. And actually, the sentence started further up in verse number 4. But in verse number 7, notice what he says and think about what you just said. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he, meaning God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his
wow.
kindness toward us through Christ
right.
Jesus. He's going to point to us and show us off to the angels as a testimony of his grace and what he was
what,
able
I'm
to do.
I'm going to tell you what, Pastor.
Hmm?
I just know within me Christ lives in me.
Amen.
I have no fear of man anymore. And he's just showing me how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, he gives us the authority because of him.
Right.
I mean, as long as we're, I guess as long as we're like we're humble, we're meek,
mm-hmm.
and we submit to authority, but we know that authority comes through Christ.
Right. Now let me finish up with this one passage in Romans chapter 3.
That's yeah. powerful.
Yeah, and well, it's Word of God. And look what God says here. After he says there's none righteous, no, not one, and he talks about that, and he elaborates on that,
right.
he comes down to verse number 20, and verse number 21, and a long sentence starts. One of the reasons I use the King James rather than the new version.
Can I ask you a question? At this church I go to, they don't use the King James. They use like an English Standard Version.
Yeah, there's various ones out there. And that's a whole other subject. The King James is the one I believe you should be reading.
Really?
And here's a reason for it.
Uh-oh.
The King James preserves the Word of God, where these modern translations actually take away from it. And,
yeah,
and let me
pastor,
give you an example.
My pastor does preach the gospel.
Yeah,
though.
But let me give you an example. In
okay.
in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through verse number... Romans 3, starting verse 21.
Should I grab my Bible right now?
That's
no?
okay. I'm just going to give this to you real quick here. Through verse number 26 is all one sentence. The modern translations, many of them break that up to one degree or another into more sentences. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the understanding is that every part of a sentence is related to the whole thought. And when you split up a sentence into separate sentences, you destroy the continuity of thought. Oftentimes, you can still communicate the same thing, but it's not as powerful. And let me hurry and get through this because I got a number of callers calling in. But I'm only going to be able to read a few verses here,
right,
the beginning
right.
of the sentence. But this is what he says starting verse 21, Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. There's a semicolon, which means this thought continues to be developed in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, notice what he says here, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Do you catch what he just said there? The righteousness of God is manifested without the law. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. God's righteousness comes by the faith of Christ unto all who believe. When you believe,
it's not my righteousness, it's God's righteousness.
No, it's his righteousness, and he puts that on us. And then he says in verse 23, continues, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because our righteousness, as he said before, is nothing. So we need God's righteousness on us. And then when we have God's righteousness on us, though we have sinned and come short of his glory, we're now, in verse 24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, this is the redemption. Sanctification is a little different. And then it describes how Christ redeemed us by shedding his blood on the cross to pay for our sins. And that's developed in verses 25 and 26, so that in verse 26 he says, to declare at this time his righteousness, not our righteousness, not your righteousness or mine, but God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So God justifies us.
In Christ.
So, yes. And when we believe, God justifies us and places his righteousness on us when he forgives us of our sins, because it's covered by the blood of Christ, and we're cloaked with his righteousness. And when he looks at you, he doesn't see your righteousness, which is filthy rags. He sees his own righteousness.
He sees Jesus.
Exactly. God's righteousness is on everyone who believes and trusts Christ as their Savior.
So favor comes in that? Is that a blessing? Favor in that or what?
Well, there certainly is favor in that, and so we begin then getting into, you know, how to live the Christian life and
sanctification
and some of those issues and things that we get into there. But for time's sake, Jim, I got a number of callers calling in, and I'm going to have to get to some of them for now. Yeah, we'll develop this. Give us a call maybe next week, and we can continue on in the new year, because these are exciting things, and these are things we need to talk about, people need to understand.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, real quick. God's gospel gave me the passion, and one other thing my pastor did teach, he said about the Antichrist prophecies.
Right.
And he says basically the Bible, you know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, anything after that, that's your guideline right there. So he does preach out of the gospel.
Well, amen. Well, I appreciate your call there, Jim. Thank you very much,
God bless you.
Appreciate your testimony, your passion, and a chance to talk about the gospel and how to be saved. That's something we certainly need to talk about. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I think we lost one of our callers there. If you were holding there and you want to call back in, we can probably get you on. And if I'll just wait just a moment here, if this is our caller that we just accidentally lost. Okay, we've got Nancy back, I think. And Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a couple more callers yet, but Nancy, welcome. All right, we're having trouble with Nancy. Maybe we better go to Mike next here, and we can try and get Nancy on later. All right, Mike in Rocky River, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, Pastor Al.
Hi, welcome. Happy New Year to you.
God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
John calls in. He is a lost soul.
Yes, he is. That's why we pray for him.
But he asks some good questions, but he leans on his own understanding. He isn't saved. He doesn't understand. He says he believes the Bible, but there is a difference in believing and believing in.
Well, exactly. The Bible says the devils believe, and they tremble.
Exactly. And his fallen angels, and even atheists innately. And the word innately, we all believe, but we don't believe we choose to. So we'll keep praying for John, but it seems at times that John can be a little aggravated. I understand.
Well, but a lot of times I believe that there is a kernel of questioning in there. And it's like I said, sometimes people are looking for reasons not to believe because they're afraid it might be true. Let me give you an example of that. When I was in college, I was at Colorado State University, and this is probably about 1980, I don't know, 81, I guess, 82, 81 maybe. And it was a senior level forest biology class. And the teacher, the professor, was an ardent teacher of evolution. And toward the end of the semester, he said, he was candid with the class, and he said, you know, my father-in-law, who was a minister, believed in creation. He said, we have a lot of discussions and debates at times. And he said, ultimately, and this was an ardent evolutionist at Colorado State University, he said, the reason I believe in evolution is because the only other option is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. And see, that's the problem. A lot of times there are people out there, they're afraid the Bible might be true. Some of the things that they see in the Bible, they're afraid just might be true. They're afraid there might be a real hell. They're afraid there might be a real devil. They're afraid there might be a real punishment for sin. And they're afraid of the ramifications because, like you said, even atheists in their heart know there's something that's there, something that they're missing, something that's wrong. And that's why there are no tribes or groups of people ever discovered anywhere in the world that had no form of religion. As religion is what man comes up with, oftentimes with the help of the devil, when he does not have the truth of God's word. People will not believe nothing. They will always believe something. Even atheism becomes a religion to the atheist because by his own definition, he can't prove atheism either. He says we can't prove the Bible, but he can't prove atheism. And so as a consequence, it's a faith-based system of thought.
Well, and before I became saved several years ago, I knew in my little finite mind there can't be many ways because that's the confusion. And I learned later when I became saved that the devil is the author of confusion.
Oh, absolutely.
There had to be one way. I said, there's got to be one way, because that's why you got all this confusion. And today you got 50 versions of the Bible. I believe the King James is the authorized version, because it says right in Revelation, as you well know, that anybody adds or detracts from this prophecy, his condemnation shall be worse. But you've got all these, they call themselves Christians. There's these prosperity preachers on TV. I noticed on TVN and these other, they got people there captivated. Mm-hmm. They don't even mention Christ. And this one individual I want to mention, he was on Larry King's show, and he was asked directly, this guy is in Houston, but I won't mention
him. I'll mention him. It was Jerry Olstein. Yeah, I'm exactly. Not Jerry, but
Joel
Olstein. What did I say yeah. Jerry for? I'm sorry. So I guess I'll mention him. I say the wrong name. Joel Olstein. Yeah, because I saw the clip of that.
Directly, he says, do you really believe that Christ is? He said, no, there's many ways. He point blank said that on the show.
And he also said he never preaches about sin.
But there's a righteous judgment, and you should judge right. But this man, I believe, is a false, he's a prosperity preacher, Laodicean.
Well, yeah, you feel good listening to him because he tickles your ears.
That's what you want to hear.
You know, that's what Paul warned about. He warned in 2 Timothy that we would live in a time when people would turn from the Word of God. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, for the time will come in verse 3 when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And, you know, we're probably one of the smallest churches that has a radio ministry. I really admit that. Our church total size is smaller than most people's Sunday school class. And yet God has opened a door for us. We would be bigger if I did not take a stand on doctrinal positions. And I read a doctrinal position in the Bible, and I have to go with it. Sometimes I don't like the stand I have to take, but it's what the Bible says. And if I just went back and forth and tickled ears, we'd certainly have a lot more people in our church. Because quite frankly, I'm convinced after a number of years as a missionary and then as 15 plus years as a pastor, I'm convinced that a lot of people out there, they may be genuinely born again. They really don't want to hear what the Bible really says. They want happy thoughts. So, yeah, I'm coming
like
up.
Some of these, some of these places are almost like social clubs.
Well, exactly. And we made a decision at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We can't compete with these things. We can't entertain people, so we don't even try. We concentrate on the Word of God. That's why we do the type of program that we do. And Mike, I've enjoyed talking. I just noticed we got about 5 minutes left in the program. Yes. I got some other callers to get to.
I think it's terrible what we've done. We've gone from when I was in high school. I wasn't saved then. In the early 60s, they took the right to pray out of the school.
Exactly.
We were under a socialistic state, and we killed 50 million babies. That thing that happened in Connecticut was terrible. Mm-hmm. But how about 4,000 babies
there was probably between 3,000 and 4,000 babies killed in the womb that day. And nobody had any outrage over that.
No,
Mike, I'm going to let you go here because I want to get a couple more callers on in the last couple minutes here before we run out. But I appreciate your call. Call us back.
Your ministry.
Thank
you. For you and your ministry. Pray for John.
All right. Call us back again sometime. Call us back again sometime. Appreciate that. And we've got Nancy got back in finally. And Nancy, welcome. I still got a board full of calls here, and we'll get as many as we can. But Nancy, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Pastor.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I get disconnected a couple times. I was very interested in the looming fiscal cliff, and I'm wondering if the Bible verse, Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender, and as you know, America has become a debtor nation.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think this is basically God's judgment on us because we become so much in debt that no matter what happens?
I think the debt is part of our judgment on us, and it's because of abortion, the sin of abortion, a national sin. I think it's because our nation has been turning its back on the Jewish people and on Israel in particular, and I think it's because of the sin of voting for and allowing same-sex marriage and special rights for homosexuals, many things. One of the signs of judgment that God brought on the Jewish people is when they departed and they turned from him, they did become debtors to those around them. And when they were following God closely, the nations around them became debtors to them. And there was a time where the world was really in debt to the United States, but to whom much is given, much is desired, and the United States has been given much. And we have fulfilled some very valuable functions for the Lord, the birth of the Jewish nation, for instance, setting things up for end times. The United States is not a major player in end times events. I think it may be one of the young lions of the merchants of Tarshish mentioned in Ezekiel 38, but even if that's it, if that is the United States as one of those, that's not much of a role in end times events. And so our nation is on the downward slide. I feel like Jeremiah talking about that because our nation's under judgment. We've been given much, the freedom that we've had as Christians in our country. And when you think of how many Christians don't bother to vote, how many Christians don't bother to get involved in their communities. And of course, we're out of time there, Nancy. We'll have to talk about this some more. We had Danielle calling in too. And what do we got? About 2 minutes left, I think, or 1 minute left on the program. Nancy, I'll have to let you go on that note right there. You know, we as believers need to pray. I think we're in the last days of our country. I think the Lord's return is nigh. We could see it in 2013. We could yet see it in 2012, but we need to reach as many people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as we can. Sorry to our other callers. Give us a call back next week. We'll be on, Lord willing, Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon and again Sunday night at 11. And good night. God bless. Hope you have a great week and a happy new year. And keep looking up and trusting in the Lord. God bless. Good night.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.